Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fans, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tao, Shanti Mandela's on the other side, and apparently a boy band's coming into the building today, so that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. We also
don't ask me
Clark,
which one.
Making a lot more money. Well, a little bit extra money. Your boy Larry Sanders in the news. We'll get to that a little bit later on. As Sparky gives me the side eye when I mention old number 8, one of my favorite Milwaukee Bucks of all time.
I saw, since we're talking about old Bucks, somebody put out a video, Jason Terry jacking up threes in a gym yesterday, nailing one after another after another after another. Jason Terry's still trying to get a job. Jason Terry not done yet. I'm telling you.
Could you imagine, he may
come back next year.
Could you imagine if you had a right Larry Sanders on this team?
Oh, wow. It would be game over.
They'd be shoo-in.
So, I mean, you put a right Larry Sanders on the Celtics?
He never played for the Celtics. I'm just saying.
He would be an impact on any team.
Huge, because there's
nobody like him in the NBA right now.
I'm just talking about for us because we had him. If that Joker had worked out for us, this guy on this team would be dangerous.
Yeah, it would be. Last night would have been a lot different story. But, you know, they play a different style. Maybe Jason Kidd's still in town. You never really know.
No, I mean, I don't want Jason Kidd. I'm good with Budenholzer.
Okay.
I'm over that now. I mean, you know I wanted Jason Kidd to stay, but I'm good. I like what this guy's done.
And Budenholzer balled out last night, had the troops ready to rock and roll.
Can y'all explain something to me?
Yeah, what's up, Gary?
What was different last night, Steve?
Well, first, they made the lineup adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. You said that before I didn't hear. You go, hey, what if they start? And I go, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
All right. So
and then he
good.
Quickly got two fouls, and that was the end of that.
Right. But still.
I put my head down. I'm like, come on, man.
Happened.
I get the lineup I want, and then you go get
it. Still happened. Doesn't matter. Still happened.
But it definitely, when they were out there together, looked like the right lineup, right?
So still happened.
I think it was the right move.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what they do on Friday. But so I like that.
What was different?
First half seemed like the last game for the most part. Giannis was a little bit more aggressive, I guess, but still wasn't being able to finish around the rim. Was hitting free throws, though, so that was a positive sign.
How many times did he get there?
18.
Shot 18. 18 times. Middleton was keeping him in that game in the first half, hitting shots, which similar to game one. Middleton hit a couple of threes in game one to help keep him in that game as well. So very similar there. Bledsoe started off sluggish again, and I was concerned. And you get to halftime, and I tweeted out, I said, so can the Bucks be this hot from three going forward, and do they need to be to win this game? I put that out there on Twitter. And to be honest with you, I didn't put my take one way or the other. I just put the question out. In my brain, I was thinking, probably not going to be this red hot, and I do think they need to be this red hot in order to win this game. And we talked about coming out of halftime and the adjustments and whatever it was going to be. That's how we were going to know where we were as a team going forward in this series. And they came out, and they were just unconscious in the third quarter. Giannis had 13 points in the first half and got, 15 points there in the third quarter, and they got 1 point, I think, in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But 15-point third quarter from him. Bledsoe, I think, had 11 in that quarter. I mean, it was just
as a team, they just short of 40.
Billy, they reached over, went.
Somebody turned the power back on.
They flipped the switch back
somebody
on.
Flipped
the switch back on. Right. They put the switch back in the wall and it works. And I was happy to see that. I know it drives people crazy when I say, but it's fun. So for me, they shot really well. They hit 23 pointers in the game, Gary. 20. That's a lot of damn threes to hit in a basketball game. Your big three all scored over 20 points in that game. Middleton with 28, Giannis with 29, Bledsoe with 21. You got contributions. Pat Connaughton, you know, didn't score. Had 11 rebounds off the bench. So he gave you something off the bench that you didn't have. in the last game. You just got contributions from more than you got last game. Still win for Brook Lopez to really do a little bit more than what he did this last game, but he had a couple threes in the game too. Ilyasova still hasn't found his shot necessarily in this series. He's going to get going here one of these
but
games.
But did have a couple of big charges. The one on Gordon Hayward in that second half was huge when Hayward drove the lane.
I like when they put up the graphic that he led the NBA in charges. Everybody in the league knew that already. You didn't have to put that graphic up. Every fan that has seen the Bucks play knew he led the league in charges. That's his defense. So, yeah, I just, for me, you know, people were like, see, Sparky, we're overreacting. Yes, guilty as charged. I clearly was overreacting, and I will fully take blame on that, and that's fine. If you ask me what's going to happen on Friday, I will tell you I have no freaking clue. None.
Because you had a blowout. You're overreacting on what?
Overreacting to maybe being a little nervous or worried about what game two was going to look like or whatever else, and that they wouldn't look like the Bucks of the regular season at any point, and maybe Boston had their number.
I didn't feel the overreacting, but if you say so, that's fine.
I mean, that's probably that's a little bit part of it. I was doubting them a little bit.
Were you really? I didn't sense that out of
I wasn't saying they were going to lose necessarily. Yeah. I said if they did lose, the series is probably over.
Well, and that's a fact.
But
I didn't sense you doubting them at all. I heard you speaking from the heart and the truth. I never heard you say that they're losing tonight.
For me, it was just more about Bledsoe. Middleton having to be those guys, and Giannis can't go get you 40 or 45, and they were.
That has nothing to do with you doubting them, I don't think, to me.
Oh, maybe not.
I mean, you can't let people on Twitter sway your mind now.
Well, maybe that's what's happened. That could be part
of it. You got to stand firm what you believe.
Yeah.
And I'm just being your friend. I did not hear you one time yesterday said you doubt if they would win that game last night.
No, I didn't.
You stated facts of here's what has to happen, and if it doesn't happen – which was right. They're going to be down 2-0. Right. If Giannis, and we talked about it too, you said, Gary, how many points is Giannis going to score? You don't think he's going to score 40 on these guys. You got to go, no, he ain't scoring 40.
25 to 30, we said.
Because he's got to get 30 at least. Yep. We all agreed on that. Yep. And then you said, hey, well, you know, we were talking about the straw service ring is his own Giannis. And we go, yeah. Then you said, well, hey, Bledsoe's my guy. That's true.
Yep.
That was true too. Yeah, to a certain degree, you got to have all those guys. But I think all those guys play. So yeah, I'm just saying I'm not coming to your defense. I'm just saying I don't think not one time you said they were going to lose last night. But here's what had to happen. Now what else happened? Kyrie only had 9 points.
And also in that second half, they've had Giannis on ball defending Kyrie Irving a lot more than they did earlier on in the game.
And they should probably continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the adjustments that I did not expect to see.
The other thing that is interesting to me is Jason Tatum has been awful for two games. I mean, he has just been awful. Remember, we were talking about, you know, Tatum didn't play well in game one, but he's probably going to play better in game two. Nope. Straight garbage. I mean, two games in a row, he has been a non-factor. Al Horford.
Combined 9 points for Jason Tatum in the series.
Al Horford, I've had my fill watching this dude. He didn't have as big of a game this game as he did last game, but I've had my fill watching that dude. That dude, man, that dude kills this team. So, but like Gary said, you know, if Kyrie is Kyrie and makes shots, you know, this game's probably a little bit closer. I don't think Golden State could have beat that Bucks team in the second half last night. I mean, they couldn't miss a shot in the third quarter. They were just unconscious. Everybody was chipping in.
A 24-2 run as the Bucks close out that third quarter, Gary, and they spaced it out in a 123-102 win over Boston, even up the series last night. What did you feel was different? Because coming in yesterday, You were putting it on 34's big, broad shoulders that he added 51 pounds to since he came in the league.
And that's our whole conversation about yesterday, adjustments and all that kind of stuff. Now, I ain't seen nothing really different. I think Giannis got rid of the ball a little bit quicker out of his hands when he saw the double team or the triple team. I thought they worked the ball around a little bit more. But, I mean, if you're asking me to be a basketball guy and give you the nuance of what really happened, I got nothing. And I would tell these people, they played their same game. All the people that won in Budenholzer fire yesterday, I suppose you want to be back on his bandwagon day.
Well, they want to buy their Coach of the Year shirts now today.
I just, you know, maybe you throw in Mirotić as the starter as an adjustment. Maybe you do that, but you probably saw that come anyway after you heard about
Sterling Brown being out. Yeah, with
right?
The
what
patterns.
Was the obvious after that? So, for me, all you people who know, they did. And Giannis played better.
No doubt he did. Absolutely.
He didn't
more
give
aggressive.
He didn't give me that that KD when he went 50 the other night. I mean, he didn't do that.
No, he didn't drop 38 in the first half.
No, he didn't do that, right? But 13 in the third quarter, which was decided, that's where they put it to bed.
Mm-hmm. That's where they flipped the switch. That's where they went out and covered somebody.
And he
else.
Was the key factor into that. And Steve was right. Middleton really in the first quarter, first day, it was really him.
Well, the other thing too that happened, I think in the second half, especially that third quarter, was they got real active on defense as far as deflecting balls and creating some chaos for Boston. That really changed too. And that is what we always talk about, flipping that switch. The defensive intensity picks up. And their offense takes off because of it.
So,
and Boston yesterday, I thought Boston was horrible in transition defense yesterday. I thought they were just not very good. In the game one, I thought they were much better than they were in game two.
They slowed Giannis down quicker in game one, way better.
So
credit them to what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Energy,
playing hard, play and energy. Yep. Right.
That's what they said the whole time.
Third
right
quarter, yep. They definitely played harder.
Right.
No doubt. Yep.
Go ahead and give it to them.
414-799-1250. Takeaway last night from your game, 123-102. Bucks do the job that they needed to do. Nikola Mirotic in the starting lineup. He's the only starter not in double figures. He finishes with 9. Brook Lopez, Sparky, as you said, finishes with 10. 3 of 10 from the field. But it was the big three carrying the Bucks with 29 from Giannis, 28 from Chris Middleton, and 21 from Eric Bledsoe. A couple of things about those former two guys, Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton, I want to get into after the break as well. But Gary, these guys are all just trying to get rings. And they're not smart enough to just go shoptjc.com.
Hey, but you can go shoptjc.com.
Right. Or you could just go in, grab a handful of Tootsie Rolls, and then go in.
76 Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mountain Road, and Tri-City National Bank. Build a new location, folks, in Burlington, Wisconsin. We're trying to get it all covered here. Go check my good friend Dean Murray out. He's the guy you need to see. He's the owner. He's always there, mostly at the 76 and Layton location. He's always there in his office. He's a guy. It's a family business, folks, really. I mean, and I like a guy who's the owner who's right there in his shop. He's going to be there. He's there to help you. When you walk in the door, you ask for Dean Murray. He's coming out. You tell Dean Murray, the guys from the Big Show Show. So if you want that big, big, you know, deal, ask for Dean Murray, you walk in the door. And he's going to give you the best possible deal on any piece of jewelry you select in that store, men or women. Guys, go in there and check him out. Dean Murray, the Jewelry Center, 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield off Blue Mountain Road and Tri-City National Bank Building right there on the second floor, and a new location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin.
What was the difference last night in the Bucks' 21-point win following up the 22-point loss? We discuss next, Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. You can dial us up, 414-799-1250.
You know, today we played better. Giannis played better. Collectively, we played better. You know, now it's we'll go to Boston, and you know, be a great game Friday.
But at the end of the day, you know, we gotta still stay humble. We know we got game 3 on the road now. You know, every game is gonna get tougher and tougher and tougher, and we gotta keep playing good basketball and trust one another, and hopefully we can get game 3.
Mike Budenholzer and Giannis Antetokounmpo after the game last night. Bucks win it at home. Take care of business, 123-102, aided by a 24-2 run to close out the third quarter. Bucks put up 39 in that quarter. Giannis and the Bucks run away with it. Not to be remiss, though, Sparky, of what Chris Middleton did for the second consecutive game, as we ask you what was different in a Bucks win last night, as they flipped the script. You can say flip the switch. They flipped the script on the Boston Celtics as Bucks star Giannis did not play well in game 1. Kyrie Irving, their star, did not play well in game 2. But Chris Middleton, a constant in the first half of this game, 20 points with, I believe it was 5 deep balls, 5 of 7 from downtown in that first quarter or first half.
Yeah, and you know, that's, for me, when we start talking about this Bucks team going forward, the deep ball is going to be really the difference, right? How well you shoot the three. Mm-hmm. They shot, what was it, 50 threes, 49 threes, something like that in that game yesterday?
47 threes.
Yeah, that's an insane amount of three-point shots in a game. And it's funny because on the Fan Twitter account, you can tweet us at any time, day or night, at 105.7 FM The Fan. And I was watching people complaining that they were shooting too many threes as it was happening in the first half. Like, would you quit shooting threes? And literally, the announcers on the game, Marv Albert and Chris Webber, were literally saying, the Bucks now 1 of 8 on anything other than a three-point shot. The Bucks can't hit anything outside of three-point shots. Well, that's a whole, quote, let it fly mentality.
Yeah, that's the Joe Brown motto.
Of Budenholzer and the Bucks this year. So when they're hitting their threes at the rate they were hitting them last night, they can be Golden State. They can beat anybody. anybody, line up anybody in the NBA against that team, when you hit 20 threes in a game, I just don't think there's many teams that can beat this basketball team when they're shooting the three that well. The problem is when you're not shooting in that well, see game one, then how then do you figure out a way to win a playoff game? In the regular season, they were still able to win games when they weren't hitting the three-point shot. Game one, that wasn't the case. We'll see what happens in game three in Boston. Like I said earlier, I have absolutely no idea what to expect on Friday.
And Gary, Chris Middleton is slowly trying to silence the people that have been hating on him for his money. He was earning his money last night.
Yeah, he was. And I tweeted out last night, if he plays like this the rest of the way, just give him the $30 million or whatever it's going to be. North of $30 million, I don't know, whatever it is. Just go ahead and line it up.
Back pay it the up, man his money.
Pay the man his money. And it is what it is. And I mean, I think some people may have taken offense to when I said that. I mean, it is what it is. If he plays like that, because really – he kind of carried him until Giannis got going.
For sure he did. Those transition threes that he was stepping into were no joke when he was taking the ball up.
Yeah, so, that is. But really, in reality, if you're looking, if teams are going to play Giannis the way they're playing him and can play Giannis the way Boston is playing him, Giannis is not going to get you 40 or 50 a night.
Yeah, no, that's going to be different.
Right. Because you right now, if you are a Milwaukee Bucks fan, I just try to keep everything as 100 as possible as I can.
That's our motto here.
If you are now a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you can now really see, which I've been seeing all along, that's why I said about the jump shot, you can really see some of Giannis' deficiencies in his game. And that ain't nothing bad.
No, you're just pointing out the obvious.
No, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just pointing out obvious.
Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. Because if you think about it, Michael Jordan had to go work on something.
Kevin Durant did.
LeBron James had to go work on something. Kevin Durant had to go. All these guys, Scottie Pippen had to go. All these guys had to refine their games in particular years and become better than what they are today. And there's no, folks around here, Bucks fans, think when you say that about yours, you're saying something bad.
Like it you're dogging them. Yeah.
It's not. That's just keeping it 100, and that's the truth. So, you now see the deficiencies in Giannis' game. Well, he still can go out and control the game and be a force defensively as well, and can try to control it offensively. But when you have teams like Boston, Long, a nice center, and Steve, you're right. Horford? What? Does he make threes like that all the time?
Yeah, he can
shoot
with one
of the ugliest looking jump shots of all time.
He's not going to take him like Brook Lopez. That many of them, but
no, I would say this: Giannis last night did hit a couple threes. That money.
Hey,
he had his little shimmy on too.
Yeah, money.
That what is that?
Money.
Come on, man! Hate on the shimmy.
No.
Come on, I got a little shimmy too.
I'm Robin post game show last night, right? So, like, if you're a Celtics fan and I see that, dude, you shot like two air balls in the first half shooting three.
Scoreboard.
And you're shimmying on a second three.
Scoreboard.
Get out of here.
Yeah, scoreboard.
This is the dude, right? This is the same dude, Giannis. Shimmy. Oh, I'm going to be me. I'm American swag. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That American swag. I'm going to be me. Dude, that shimmy's American swag. Don't start with me.
Yeah, scoreboard.
That's total American swag. Yep. That little shimmy, I also wouldn't do that 4 or 5 years
ago. And it was scoreboard. That's exactly what he was saying.
I just started laughing. Like, the question of the postgame show last night was, what were you surprised about tonight's game? Mm-hmm. That's what I was surprised about. We played the highlight that was our Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza play of the game, right? And he references it. That's why I was our play of the game. That's what I was surprised about. I did not see him shimmying on a three-pointer.
Yeah, I got to shimmy
a little bit.
That surprised me.
Yeah, but Michael Jordan does the shoulder shrug. Okay.
Yeah.
You get it, right?
Scoreboard, cuz.
Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what's going on. But I don't know. That was funny to me. I laughed. I saw it. I was like, did he just really do that?
Justin in Menominee Falls, you shimmy shake after you hit a three?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I got two things about last night's games. First, I wanted to say that I was at the Brewer game last night with my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, and we were noticing, obviously not a lot of fans at last night's game. I would say around 18,000 maybe. Can't remember what the attendance was. But I was shocked and really happy to see about half of the crowd wearing Brewers gear and the other half was wearing Bucks gear. And so many people just pumping, Bucks in six. And as soon as the Brewer game ended last night, with that win, everybody headed over to Fridays. We got the last 5-6 minutes of the game. It was a good time last
night. Hey, I got a question. I got a question for you. So when you were at the Brewers game, did they have the Bucks game on in the concourse area and stuff?
Some of the places they did, yes. Over at the local brewery, you know, on the Loge level, they had the Bucks game on there.
Cool.
And my sister wanted to go to the pro shop. They did not have it on in there. But, of course, Friday has had it all on everywhere.
I figured that. But, you know, sometimes when they have the TVs on in the concourses, you'll have the Packers game on in September or whatever so people can watch it on a Sunday afternoon. Yep. I just wonder how much they were pumping the Bucks through the concourse areas.
Oh, no, it was definitely on many TVs. For
awesome.
Sure. And
good.
I was streaming the game on my phone in our seats, and I had a crowd behind me watching the game. It was funny.
Awesome. That's awesome.
But yeah, the second thing I wanted to say about the Bucks, you know.
Get with it.
I really think that this team is super resilient, and I have to give all the credit in the world to Coach Bud, because I think if this was a Jason Kidd team, they wouldn't have responded the way that they responded last night.
Yeah, see, now this here, I'm going to take.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
I'm going to say this, because I brought this up to Billy off the air the other day. I think it was to Billy. So, after game one, correct me if I'm wrong here.
All right.
After game one, we're on the air talking about the Bucks the very next day in the Big Show on Monday. And Giannis and others say, we got to play with more energy. We got to bring it more. If that was a Jason Kidd coach team, do you know the fury that fans would have had on Jason Kidd for not having his team ready to play game one? How do you not have your team motivated to play game one against the Boston Celtics? You suck. You're awful. Blah, 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 blah. Would have gotten killed. They do it with Boonholzer off a 60-win season, and it's, oh, okay.
Yeah, Giannis, he'll be all right.
Giannis didn't play hard in the first game of a second-round playoff series. No big deal. He'll be fine.
He'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay. How things change. So now we come back to this thing with Kidd. Now he brings up Kidd. Well, they couldn't have responded this way. Well, I just don't know that. Because if this wasn't involving Boonholzer, if this was the players themselves saying, we got to be more motivated, is that really Boonholzer? Or was that the players just figuring it out themselves? Were the players just mad at how they played last game and came out to prove a point?
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Bucks under Jason Kidd had the big game in game 6 against Toronto where they come back twice from 25 plus down. I mean, they were a resilient team under Jason Kidd as well. I mean, they proved that for sure. What was the difference last night, Trell, on the north side?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I think what the difference was first off, the Bucks got back to being who they are. This team has won 50 games this year, double-digit points, won the most in history, and every team that do it before them has won the championship. The other seven have done it, won the championship. So they got back to being the team that they have been all year, and that's been a team that flips the switch in the third quarter. When you get to the fourth quarter, it's pretty much a blowout, and the game is over with. As far as I think the most thing that was most distinctive, that I think Giannis was more assertive. And the more that he keeps playing the way he's playing, regardless of their defense is going to loosen up, which it did last night in the second half. But the more the series goes on, he's going to start having this pick of the litter, because the more the Bucks hit three-pointers, which they average 15 a game, they hit at their averages, Boston is going to have to do some things different. They ain't going to be able to leave people and play that wall-out defense. That's why I was so much saying about Milton and them need to hit their shot when they're playing the defense focused to shut Giannis down. And when that happens, they have no choice but to open it up a little bit. And once they open it up a little bit, Boston does not have one player that can stay in front of Giannis or stop Giannis. So if they're not allowed to play that packing in, three-man, the other two-man are watching on the weak side defense on Giannis, this series is going to turn in a real quick.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's going to turn quickly if they can't slow down Giannis in transition, like you said, Sparky. If they're allowing him to get more free runs when he's picking the ball up at half court, going into the top of the key, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, they're going to have problems. And the other thing that has to continue to happen is they have to continue to hit their outside shots. So when Gary that brought it up yesterday. Look, if I can't just focus on Giannis, and now I got to pay attention to Bledsoe getting to the rim as well, or I have to pay attention to Middleton taking that outside three or whatever the case may be, that just opens up the entire floor for everybody.
It does.
And we can say Giannis opens up the floor for them, and that's true, but I think they also can help open up the floor for Giannis, once too, in the same aspect.
Well, see, and that's the thing, Steve.
When they're making shots.
Yes, and it does, but it starts with Giannis. Because when I come into a game, there's a game plan defensively.
Built around Giannis.
Who am I want to take away? Well, I'm going to take away Giannis. Mm-hmm. Who can I? And if I say, okay, if we lose, then Milton's got to beat us.
Yeah, somebody else.
If we lose, then Bledsoe's got to beat us. But we ain't let Giannis beat us, because he makes everything happen for everybody else. Most of our teams, we saw him jokers. It's like sometimes there's like four guys around him or paying attention to him.
Literally every single time he has the basketball, all 10 eyes on the floor are centered right on his chest. Yes.
Him. And what's got to happen is for the Milwaukee Bucks, most certainly it's got to be a team game. Those, you know, Bledsoe, Middleton, Meritage to a certain degree. Why did you go get Meritage? Because he's got an outside shot. Yep. I mean, he benefits from that. I mean, you're right. Now, when those guys start hitting the shots from the outside, maybe you take two more steps to try to close out, and that's really all the room you can need to get Giannis down that lane.
They spaced out the floor a lot, and you're right, Gary. Nico definitely helped with that, too. But Eric Bledsoe attacking all night long. I heard Chris Webber say
it for him.
Literally every third possession. This is just not the same Eric Bledsoe we saw in game one.
Well, he wasn't.
Can't be. They're not.
They're going to win.
Six points wasn't going to get it done.
They're going to struggle to win these games without Eric Bledsoe. I'm just telling you that he has to be the guy, right? I mean, I know Giannis is the guy, but Bledsoe has to be aggressive Eric Bledsoe, going to the rim, reverse layups, and one calls. Don't be worried about taking a three. If it's there, take it. You may not hit it, but take it. Be aggressive. And he just gets into these spurts where he's not. And it drives you absolutely batty, I would think, if you're a coach.
I like
he's,
that word.
He's, yeah, batty.
But what drives you batty is
batty.
He knows how good he is. Just ask him. So he's not lacking confidence. That's not his problem.
He's got all the confidence you can need.
But right. So it's just reminding him, dude, come on. First time out. You've taken one shot. Something wrong? You sick?
You good?
No, I'm not sick, coach. Well, then do something, man.
He's batty.
Let's go.
Batty.
I mean, they kind of got to stay on him, I think, a little bit to make sure he stays aggressive.
A little more assertive.
Is he going to make a bad pass from time to time? And you're going to be like, oh, my God, what were you doing? Yes. It's happened all year. It's going to happen throughout his career because he gets over-aggressive, sees something he thinks he can make the pass on, and it doesn't work on. It goes the other way. You have to live with that. You signed a long-term deal. You said, I'm good. We'll deal with those turnovers. Fine. But the offensive side of the floor is really where he can make a dent for you, and the defensive side of the floor, because he is so physical and can be so physical, he can create problems.
Before a sports flash and your chance at $1,000, let's grab Mike in Kenosha. He's on the fan. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, do you guys think this is a really battle of coaches? I mean, these are really two good coaches, and I think it's going to be a matter of adjustments.
Yeah.
I mean, the players always make the difference, but at the end of the day, I don't think we're going to see any one game the same throughout the conferences, because they're just going to be making constant adjustments. It's going to be a matter of, you know, who does what.
Let me ask you this. If I would have told you before the series that the first two games would be blowouts for each team, would you have bought that, or would you have bought that it would have been close games?
No, I wouldn't have bought it.
Me either.
But you know what? The way it's played out, I bought it, because what did Boston's top three scorers do last night? 19 points?
Yeah, Horford was the only one that did anything.
Exactly. And now, what's Boston going to do?
Right.
They're going to close out. They're not going to let you hit those easy three points. Those 3-pointers last night that Middleton got,
yep,
those were practice shots, man.
Mm-hmm. But part of that is the offense that the Bucks run, and Budenholzer deserves credit for that, getting some of those shots.
Gaining those open looks.
No doubt.
And also, when we're talking about Giannis being able to be a little bit more aggressive, he was also playing, like we said yesterday, playing off the ball a lot more, I thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
They were allowing Middleton to take the ball up a couple of times and step into some of those threes. Quickly, let's grab Steve. Hi, Steven.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I wanted to let you know, first of all, I am a host at the Stadium Club at Miller Park.
Okay.
And last night, we had the game on two of our monitors inside the restaurant, and then, of course, we've got Brewers there as well, and then, you know, you have the station with the broadcast of the game. And we had guests throughout the Bucks game, enjoying libations and dining throughout the game. So we had a lot of cheering for the Bucks.
That's awesome.
So I want to let you know that Miller Park was very proactive that way. And also, to me, last night, the Bucks closed down the passing lanes and the drive lanes.
Yep.
As you know, there were two or three bodies there. And I think once the Celtics got in a couple times for a couple slams, no question about it. But I love the aggressiveness and the mindset of the Bucks. You could tell they came out and they were going to press. And like you were talking about, Eric, man, he was in their face all night long. They had the right attitude, and I think we showed what kind of quality team we've truly got.
You're 100% correct. Appreciate Thanks for calling in. Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger.
This is the other thing. Last night, Gary, was another instance where they were letting them play physical, right? So, yes, Giannis got to the line 18 times, right?
Calls that he didn't get last time.
But you want to know something else? Celtics got to the line a whole hell of a lot more than they did in game one.
They did, too. Yeah.
A whole hell of a lot more. Nope. So they were calling the fouls, yes, but there was still a lot of pushing off on both sides. There was still a lot of physical play happening. There was more whistles than there was in game one, but they were still getting away with a bunch of stuff on both sides.
You could tell that it was going to be a little bit different on Giannis when that block that Tatum had first call of the game. Game one, I don't think there was drawn a whistle there. That was close.
Hey, real quick, we got to get to a sports flash.
Yeah, go ahead.
Gary, turn around. Check out that dude in the window outside the studio right there.
Yeah.
Standing with what I think is his daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
How happy do you think he is right now to be standing out there with a bunch of teenage girls waiting to go see some boy band in our building?
Well, should we get him on?
I can't imagine he's very happy.
Should we go see it if we can get him on?
You want to see?
You have to go out the side door and bring him in.
Can Joel go see if we can get our man in the Carhartt out?
See if he want to.
Yeah.
He's in the Carhartt jacket?
Yeah, he's in a Carhartt
right
here.
He's in a sweatshirt right here outside the glass.
Yeah, the Carhartt sweatshirt right over here.
Joel's on it.
Okay. Mandela's coming up.
Just go out the side door.
Yeah, bring him through the side door.
Right. Yeah. Appreciate it, Joel. Mandela's up with a sports flash, chance at $1,000 and hopefully Carhartt guy next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, I'm Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, and joining us now in studio, our man, Mike, otherwise known as, during the last segment, Carhartt Guy. Mike, appreciate you grabbing a mic and talking to us.
Appreciate you grabbing me.
So Mike, I
bet you do, considering where you were standing right now. Mike is standing.
Set the scene for him a little bit, Steve.
So the way our studio is, there's a window right behind Gary. If you've ever come to the radio station, you can see the back of Gary's bald head every time you walk past our studio. So Gary couldn't see what was behind him, but we knew there were girls out there for some boy band that's going to be here performing in a little while. So I saw you just standing out there, mirrored sunglasses on, Carhartt hat, sweatshirt. I'm like, he doesn't look like a very happy man right now.
It's a little bit out of place.
I'm like, dad, his daughter, and I know there are no other men standing out there right now. Last time I looked outside. So Gary's like, oh, we got to get him in here. We got to get him in here. So how are you? I mean, how much do you love your daughter to be standing out there to go in there to watch some group I'm guessing you don't really care about?
We do anything for our kids.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
So who are we seeing today?
The group is called In Real Life.
Okay, nice.
In Real Life.
Sounds fun. Now, do they know that I was also a part of a quest for a boy band?
No.
I could have been a part of this whole situation.
Well, how did this group come together?
Well, Mike had the good story. They were apparently on a TV show or something.
Well, let her tell it.
Yeah.
What's your daughter's name?
Yeah. Michaela.
Okay, Michaela, so tell us the story. So how did these guys come to be?
So they were on a TV show called Boy Band. They had 30 boys audition, and they started, like, eliminating them till there was five.
So it's a reality show, or was a reality show?
Mm-hmm. How old are these guys?
The youngest is 17. I think the oldest is, like, 20 or 21.
And they didn't know each other prior to this. They just got put together by the show.
I think I still have a shot. I mean, I'm a little bit out of the age range.
Do you want me to go see if I can get you in a song?
All I want is one chance. I want is one song.
We can get you into a song maybe over
there. Right, yeah. I mean,
but let me ask, can I ask Mike this?
Yeah,
get over there. Do you listen to our show at all?
I do not.
Yeah, see, now we got a new listener.
Now we got Mike.
Yeah. If he's into sports. Do you like sports?
I do.
Yeah. You do? Who are your favorite teams?
I'm a Brewers fan.
Good.
I follow the Bucks.
Good. Talking a lot of Bucks today.
I do watch the Packers. I'm an old-time Braves fan, though.
Oh, Milwaukee Braves? You're not
Braves.
Old enough to be a Milwaukee Braves fan, man.
I'm old enough to know who they are.
Oh, sure, yeah. We're all old enough to know who they are. So does that mean you're an Atlanta Braves fan?
Deep down.
Really?
Deep at heart. Okay, I like that loyalty, though.
I had a buddy I went to college with who was an Atlanta Braves fan for the exact same reason as him.
That works.
Exact same reason. That works. It's very cool.
So how many kids do you have?
I have three.
What do you got?
One girl, two boys.
Oh, she's a special one.
Yeah, so she's the princess.
I'm the one. I got two boys and a girl. My daughter's the middle one. See, which ones I like the best?
The daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't.
You'd be standing in line with me, too.
No, I wouldn't. No chance, cuz.
No chance, cuz.
That's all right, though.
You're a special breed, Mike. And you know what? And that, you know, these are good memories that you guys have for the rest of your
life.
Yeah,
no doubt.
All
right.
You know, that's your prince.
So here's another question.
What?
How are all those girls not in school? Aren't they? Did they all get out of school to come do this?
Yeah.
All of them must have.
All of them must have, right?
The stories I heard standing in line, they have to be in school.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Learner's permits and other, yes.
Things, yeah.
Learner's permits?
Other things.
Things.
Oh, Lord.
Well, they probably had your parents got to sign you out, don't they? Or maybe, I don't know.
I mean,
now, your daughter's in school?
She's homeschooled.
Homeschooled?
Yep.
Oh, she's very special.
Beyond. How do you like that? Do you like being homeschooled? Yeah, she says yes. That's good. Did you school the two boys at home, too, or just her?
All three of my kids are homeschooled.
All three of them?
Yeah.
Who made that decision?
Ultimately, it was my wife, but
Mike had nothing to do with that, cuz.
Mike's working, man.
Yeah.
All three of my kids are testing way above where they should be, and I can't complain.
No.
So how does that work? Does she teach them then?
Yep. So the school they go to is online.
Right.
So you log in every morning onto like a classroom, and then you have assignments and stuff that you do during the day. There is a teacher that's in the classroom to physically help you while you're in the class.
Which would be your wife?
Nope. There's an actual teacher.
Online teacher. Okay,
but then mom or dad or whoever is home with the students are actually somebody who is like an at-home teacher. So you kind of have two adults interacting versus, you know, one teacher in front of 30.
That's a great. I love that.
Now, will they be homeschooled throughout high school as well? Or no?
If they choose to, yes.
Okay. All right.
If they choose to. So you're letting it be up to them?
Yep.
Good for you.
Awesome.
That's what do you do, Mike?
I actually work for a ready-mix company here in Oak Creek.
Okay, I was going to say, because I shook your hand, Mike, and I got some big paws here. And Gary, did you shake Mike's hand?
No, I saw Mike's hands, and I got arthritis.
Yeah, don't shake it. Mine's hurting a little bit. Mike put a little bit of a hurting on the squeeze, man. I'm not going to lie, big man.
So you live in Oak Creek then?
No.
No, you don't live in Oak Creek.
Live in Racine.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's close enough.
One of the smarter people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. Mike, appreciate it, man. Guys, enjoy the band. It'll be fun. If they need any help, let me know. I can do a little background vocals.
I'll make sure I let them know I know a guy.
Appreciate it. Buddy's Big Show back after this.
Bye.
Watch this. The Bucks are what's hot, there's no need to deny. So what we gonna do? Let it fly, let it fly. That blue, green, and cream make opponents running high. So what we gonna do? Let it fly. Straight from the Central Division, we're focused on winning. It's pure tunnel vision, the Bucks on the mission. Here we go, let's go, welcome to the Bled Show. Go Bucks, go, cause the president says so. Giannis flying high, look up in the sky. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's cash money in your eye. Going for the gusto, the Bucks are on their way. Good to start, good to last, good to play. Every Bled Show, let it fly, let it fly. Splash Mountain, let it fly, let it fly. Freak Free, let it fly, let it fly. Cause who's gonna win it? The Bucks, let it fly. President Brogdon, let it fly, let it fly. Cash Money, let it fly.
That's our boy Joe Brown. Let it fly. Bucks trying to let it fly last night. They did a pretty decent job at it. Firing up threes left and right. Bucks get the job done. 123-102 against the Boston Celtics. Even up the series at a game apiece before they head over to Boston, I should say. They haven't been there yet. They'll head out to Boston for game three coming up on Friday night. That is a 6 o'clock Central Time tip-off, Spargy, if I'm not mistaken.
6 o'clock on Monday night.
And they look to, in that sense right now, Gary, when you're the Milwaukee Bucks going out to Boston, a lot of people I heard earlier today on the station on Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, some people saying, oh, they're going to take both out in Boston and we can close it out in game five. I don't even necessarily know you need a win in Boston in these next two.
Yeah, you do. You can't. So you go down 3-1, right? If you don't win in Boston?
Correct. You would come back 3-1.
They need to get a game in Boston here. They need to even that out. And it's mentally good for them. To try, you know, because they got one at your place. You need to go and get one. Whether it's this game was, do they play tomorrow?
No, they'll play Friday night.
Friday night.
Friday night. Whether they
That's
play.
That's a 7 o'clock tip Friday, 6 o'clock Monday.
And then Monday. So, yeah, they need to get a game in Boston. I think it's very important that they get a game in Boston.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Because you can't go down 3-1 to these jokers.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing here. I just got an email. We were talking about yesterday about that new bar that opened or whatever in that Fear the Deer District. So now they sent out another email. Now this, see, we always talked about, remember that bar that used to be across the street from the Bradley Center that obviously they destroyed? That was onto the parking garage.
Yes.
It was a million
Showtime
different things.
Showtime or something like that.
It was a million, game time. So game there was a million different things, right? So you can never figure out in the summertime, how do you attract people back to that part of downtown in the summertime? So these guys sent out a thing from the Fear the Deer District, which is the Bucks, that they're going to have outdoor classes on Mondays, boot camp by Ambrose, Tuesdays and Thursdays, yoga in the plaza.
Wait, wait, by Ambrose? Like yeah, by Dean Ambrose? Ambrose?
You'll have to go to find out. Okay. And then yoga in the plaza by Yoga 6 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, outside in the plaza from 7 to 8 in the morning, Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, they're going to have outdoor activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, starting May 14th, Tuesday nights, twice a month, maybe not in July, but twice in May, twice in June, once in July, twice in August, twice in September. On Tuesday nights, they're going to have Movie Under the Moonlight, and they're going to have a 40-foot-high outdoor screen set up with food and beverages available for purchase on-site, and they're going to have Ralph Breaks the Internet, Secret Life of Pets.
When are they doing this?
Grease in the plaza right there in front of the arena on Tuesday nights starting May 14th.
Tuesday nights, okay.
Yeah, so they got Ralph Breaks the Internet, Secret Life of Pets, Grease, Field of Dreams, Top Gun, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Frozen, Aquaman, and Dumbo all will be shown this summer.
Now, don't they do that somewhere else downtown Milwaukee?
That's Jazz in the Park,
Jazz
I think.
Oh, yeah,
I'm thinking
Jazz
about.
In the Park
that's
over by like
Thursday nights, I
that's
think.
That's Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But there's a lot of these local parks are having local bands playing one night a week and stuff like that. So
because there's some things that Wisconsin people enjoy doing, and most of them involve drinking outside.
Yeah, because we are locked up.
Yes.
Get locked up for 9 months of the year.
Yeah, you're locked up. Cause.
Literally, like 8 to 9 months of the year, you aren't going outside.
Now, that does sound like a darty situation over there. I think they're overthinking it, though. I think all you need is some cornhole, get some bags, get some beer. We're fine. That's really all we need. We don't need any fancy movies.
We used to have in school, Bill, when I was in Madison, on Cole Hall was the name of one of the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have a movie every Friday night that they show on that wall out there.
Okay.
And, well, of course, no drinking age was 18 back
then.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Good work.
The half barrel's flowing.
Yeah.
What kind of movie?
No doubt.
You know, all kinds, you know, for students.
Comedies, action, whatever.
Yeah, very similar to what you were just saying. Well, one night, me and my roommate, Ken Stills, they were showing one of the movies, and we did a couple things two different nights.
It's not going to go well. It's you and Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
I'm swiveling in my chair. I'm excited.
Yeah, there's a livestock like one street over.
Like a livestock, like cows.
Cows, yeah. Like
okay,
was one street over a dairy. We went over and let the cows out and kind of herded them over to the where everybody's sitting out on the grass.
Tremendous job.
Why are you looking at
tremendous work? Tremendous work.
Dispersed.
Nice job.
Dispersed. Everybody's in the move. All of a sudden, a herd of damn cows coming through. You know,
actually your best impression you've ever done, Billy.
Right. Really there's a dairy right there. I forget the name of the dairy. And it's like the best ice cream you can ever get in the state of Wisconsin is right there.
Cedar Crest?
No, somebody know the name of that dairy. It's right down there. It's on...
Jeez. Joel Battle Stations.
No, it's right... So it's on it's down on Lakeshore Dorms. But there's a dairy place right there. So they have the cows right next to the dairy.
Oh, wow.
And we used to go, and so we let them out, herd them all down there. I don't think they had the cows down anymore, but we herd them out because.
They know you did it?
That's good stuff.
They probably now they do.
Now they do.
But yeah, they didn't know that. They didn't.
No,
they
no. I had no idea.
Kidding me? Who
cows
would know
coming
that?
Through, cuz.
Oh, that is good stuff.
And then one night, then maybe about like a month later or so, you know, we decide to unplug the movie projector.
That's just cruel and unusual punishment.
Right. And you can hear the whole crowd. Oh. Right. So now you got jokers scrambling trying to find out where the power, you know, where the power came from. Because, you know, back then you had a long cord.
But the cows start running through.
Yeah, so I'm sure by now they have, like, everything's digital and you have it all connected.
Oh, yeah.
And downloaded.
There's no problem over there.
Can you explain something?
Yeah. What?
How could you have been such a troublemaker. And you were blessed with just beautiful children that didn't do all this crap.
I know, right?
How is that fair?
Isn't that so funny?
How did you not get one that was like you?
I know, right?
That is crazy.
Hey, Brock still got time.
Well, you're right about that.
Brock still got time.
Yeah, that's true.
But don't kid yourself.
No, I remember that one.
Did I tell you about that one, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Gary, I've never been so happy. That was a great story.
She was trying to get
him. What? Which one?
The cows.
Did you hear? Because we heard them all out, cuz.
God, you're kidding me, man.
We got him down going down the road.
Yeah, Babcock Dairy.
Babcock. That's
Nelson
the name
Hurst,
of.
Our sales guy, just texted me.
Oh, did he hear? Yeah.
Babcock Dairy.
Yeah, so it used to be a cow.
Which
the cows.
Way better.
Because they get where they got the dairy from, right?
Sure,
they,
yeah.
Make the ice cream right there.
Pump them out, yeah.
Yeah. So we heard them right, cuz. You should have seen everybody just got running. Cows coming through. Coming through.
That's great stuff. Gina Della loves that story.
Oh,
I can only imagine.
She would
love that story.
My good friends, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process. And right now, they're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. No payments until June of 2020, guys. I don't know if you're – I'm going to say it again. 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. No payments until June of 2020. Experience the Pella difference, and that's working with Gina Della, guys. So call them up right now at 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600, or go to PellaWI.com. Ask for the zero down, zero financing, zero payments for 18 months until Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin that Gary and Leroy sent you.
Got your chance at $1,000 coming up in 90 seconds, and everybody knows the toughest kind of assessment is a self-assessment. Oh, so, Milwaukee, get ready. It's coming up next on the Wendy's Big Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.